Hello and welcome to Up the Villa podcast. If you're new, please subscribe. You'll help us grow massively. All you've got to do is just click the little subscribe button and it'll go a long way to helping us grow. And please check out our website, www.utvpodcast.co.uk. It's got all our written work, fan content, written by the fans. Again, check it out. And if you do want to get involved, just get in contact with us. We're here to have any Villa fan get involved in this channel or write pieces for us as well. So, but yeah, this is just a review of the season. We're delighted that we've got Greg Evans on board from The Athletic. How are you, mate?
I'm good, Luke. Yeah, thanks ever so much for getting me on. You all look very, very colour themed. Maybe I should have joined you.
I was going to ask you to be fair. So, Greg, what's it been like reporting on Villa football in this current climate?
Yeah, it's been good and bad, really. I mean, I know most of us journalists have been the envy of most supporters because, you know, we've been the lucky ones that have been able to go to the games and we've had a seat at Villa Park and obviously the away games as well. So I'm very fortunate and grateful that I've been able to go and watch football because it's been difficult, hasn't it, you know, for everyone watching on. And certainly it's been quite boring, I think, as well, watching on from the telly. I've lost a little bit of love for football because just so much football has been on the telly. I found myself hand selecting certain games that I want to watch. But yeah, it hasn't quite been the same without fans. You know, I love going into Villa Park and just feeling the atmosphere as I'm walking in and obviously when, you know, when the teams come out and just a typical match day environment and atmosphere. So it's been okay, but it's been a bit boring and shit as well.
I mean, one thing I would like to say is obviously like congratulate the Villa under 18s on winning the FA Youth Cup. I was there for that game and it was just, you know, amazing just to be in a football stadium and watch them. And I think it just typifies the club in general at the minute. You know, they've put in a lot of emphasis on building that youth team. And we can see already that it's coming into fruition, isn't it? You know, we managed to win that trophy. Villa, in general, are on the rise again. So I just think on and off the pitch, Villa are obviously heading in the right direction. So obviously, we got off start to the season. It was so impressive, wasn't it? You know, we beat Arsenal, Leicester, Liverpool. What did you make of that? Because obviously, Midlands football has been in the doldrums, really, for a number of years. So, hitting the heights, what did you make of it?
Yeah, it was really exciting, wasn't it, at the start? And, we, you know, there was times where I thought Villa could really kick on and potentially get into Europe. I mean, I have to admit, at the start of the season, I thought if they could finish 11th or mid-table or somewhere around those positions where they ended up finishing, it would be a very, very good season. And, you know, so, but there was just that start of the season, wasn't it, where they kept getting results and, you know, won the first four games, obviously beat Liverpool, beat Arsenal, and you're thinking, you know, wow, actually, what can this team go and do? But unfortunately, it wasn't quite to be. And I think what Villa need to sort out next season is their form without Jack Grealish, because what with Jack Grealish, it's 1.7 points per game. Without him, it's just the 1 point. So, you know, that's the clear area that they need to improve on.
And we're obviously like a super positive podcast. We think we're going to beat everybody every single week we play. Justin, what?
Well, I do.
Well, we know you do. Justin's score predictions are always probably +4, +5. So, Justin, what did you make of obviously the start of the season?
Fabulous, wasn't it? You know, I think beyond all our expectations coming off the back of that finish last season, I think we all hoped that we'd improve. And with the signings we made, obviously, I think we all looked and thought, yeah, you know, there's some really astute, good players there that've got Premier League experience, especially the likes of Emi Martinez coming off the back of that great end of the season for Arsenal. And then Matty Cash looked a really good player in the Championship. So I was looking forward to seeing how he stepped up. Traore had a bit of experience in the Premier League already and had done decent when he'd gone abroad. So that was another good signing. And Watkins had come off the back of a brilliant season for Brentford. So, you know, as it's turned out, we all hope they'd all hit the ground running and kick us on. And that's exactly what happened, isn't it? It is such a shame that it did peter out, because who knows what could have happened if Jack hadn't got that injury. But yeah, fabulous. You know, I think, you know, as a fan, it's all you can hope for, isn't it, to start a season like that. I just hope we can start next season in the similar kind of vein and kick on. But yeah, brilliant. Absolutely fantastic.
I think if you ask any Villa fan what game this season that have been in that stadium, and it's got to be Liverpool 7-2. I mean, Ryan, you were in the stadium on Sunday for the Chelsea game, and the noise was like, you could hear it on the TV, how noisy it was. So being at that game, it had been absolutely incredible. But what was your vibe watching that game, Ryan, the 7-2 Liverpool?
I couldn't believe it, to be honest. It was, I remember that night because my daughter kept getting up. So I had to keep running up the stairs, coming back down, flipping out 1-0, 2-0, 3-0. And then in the end, I'm just bouncing around the living room. And I remember at the end, Grealish going through again for 8. And I sort of felt embarrassed thinking, flipping out, surely we can't be sticking 8 past Liverpool. But yeah, absolutely. That would have been amazing. And the atmosphere on Sunday was terrific. I felt like a little kid again, walking up the steps and seeing Villa Park and the pitch. Unbelievable. And can't wait till we're all back down there next season, 40,000. But like you say, with the noise, the whole end just felt normal, to be honest. If you close your eyes, you would have thought it was a full house, to be honest. But yeah, can't wait to get back next season.
I think Perslow in his interview today has mentioned season tickets next week. So that's another thing for fans to sort of get excited about, and the thought of us all being back in there. So Greg, as a whole, how would you sort of rate Villa's season?
Yeah, first of all, sorry, Ryan. I did introduce you as Jenny when I came on. Sorry, mate. It's just coming up on your screen. Hello, Ryan. It's great to interact with some of the fans as well. So, sorry, Luke, before I answer your question. It's really nice to hear all of you talking about your experiences back at Villa Park. I mean, you know, it's been ages, hasn't it? It's been too long for you guys having to wait around. So, really good to just chat, because I've actually missed people as well during this pandemic. I've been stuck between the same four walls with my wife and probably driving her crazy. But yeah, anyway, to answer your question, Luke, sorry, what was it again?
What have you made of this season for Villa?
Yeah, look, I think it's a season of progress. I think it's pretty much what Dean Smith said, and obviously what Christian Perslow has come out and said today. I think, you know, to get 20 more points than they did last season is really impressive. To have done it in style as well, by beating the teams that you've mentioned, you know, Chelsea, Tottenham, Liverpool, Leicester. Arsenal. I mean, I actually think the Arsenal game was the most accomplished performance, the 3-0 win at the Emirates. Mm. I thought they were unbelievable that day, Villa. And, you know, another one that the fans would have loved to have been in. But yeah, I think it's a season of progress and one that's been quite enjoyable as well.
Definitely. But to be fair, it probably could have been goal of the season, but if it wasn't for like an own goal, that, you know, when they were toying with Arsenal in the corner, Barkley and Grealish and Target. Such a good goal, you know, seeing Villa do stuff like that to a team. I mean, I know Arsenal aren't as good as what they used to be, but, you know, a big team like Arsenal was great to see. So, Greg, what have you made of the new additions, and who stood out for you of the existing squad that we've got?
A few people have asked me over the last couple of weeks to name my player of the season, and it's something I've toyed with. You know, I thought Matt Target for a while. I even considered going back to Ezri Konsa, because I think the two of them have done really well. But you can't look past Emi Martinez, can you? I mean, you look for the wow factor, I think, when you're naming a player of the season. And for me, you know, Martinez has had that. I think I look back to the game against Man City where he made that brilliant save from Bernardo Silva. I interviewed Emi a couple of months ago, and he said that Bernardo called him a motherfucker, basically, in Portuguese after saving that. And he was kind of a little bit shocked by it, but, you know, that was the level of the save. And then obviously there was the performance against Wolves, wasn't there? The save from Neves, I think, was the pick of the bunch. Yeah. And then, you know, he started the season the way he finished it. I thought it was really fitting that he made a brilliant save to stop Chilwell at the end against Chelsea and protect the points for Villa. So for me, he's the standout player. But I think there's quite a few decent performers, haven't there? You know, Ollie Watkins has come in and done well. He hasn't let the price tag affect him and scored 16 goals in his first season, which is really impressive. And to see some of the youngsters come through as well is really refreshing, because there's nothing more than Villa fans want than young players from the area coming through. So, you know, Jacob Ramsey and AJ Aaron Ramsey, who hopefully might come through in the future. Those two, you know, are great to keep an eye on.
I mean, yeah, just a point on Watkins. I think he just really transformed the formation, didn't he? He just really brought it all together and led from the line, that press from the line. And yeah, I think Emi Martinez, yes, but close second for me is Watkins.
Yeah, you're right. It's the way he sort of sets the tone, isn't it, for the whole team. And I was speaking to a few fans who went to the game on Sunday, and they were saying they didn't realise how physical he was and how much he actually runs. And you can only really see that from the games, can't you? So I presume you guys all notice that as well.
Yeah,
I can't remember a season where so many players have hit a level, and barring that little dip with when the Grealish was out, and kept that level for so long. You know, I mean, you talk about Matt Target. I don't think he's had a bad game all season. Martinez hasn't had a bad game all season. I've rarely seen Ezri Konsa put a foot wrong. You know, Matt Cash very rarely puts for. I can't remember as a whole, as an 11, so a Villa team that's put in the level of consistency that they have, and we finished 11th. So, you know,
it's amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah. You know, that points tally doesn't, and the position really doesn't justify the season we've had, in my opinion. I think that's just a quirk of the way the season's gone, that we finished there. Any other season, we're comfortably probably in the top eight, but it bodes well for the future.
Yeah, definitely. I think 55 points. I had to look back through some of the other seasons that most of the time that would have, you know, got Villa into ninth. So, and you look at it, you know, we're only, 7 points off Tottenham. So just a couple more wins would have got European football. So it was really close, wasn't it? Just, and as you mentioned earlier, Justin, it'd be really interesting to have seen where Villa ended up if Jacker had stayed fit throughout the season.
But the thing is, when we're looking at these, comparing like the players as well, it's such a stark contrast from the season before it. You know, Justin, you were on about like the players have not had a bad game, but it's just so different to the one that we saw in lockdown, and one the season that we were all going to the games. I think you look at like Matt Target, he looks a totally different player this season, doesn't he? You know, he's improved so much. He's stronger. He's not put a foot wrong. And most Villa fans were probably calling last summer for us to sign a new left back. So he's done brilliantly. And I think credit has to go down to like the coaching setup and bringing in Craig Shakespeare, because we've been able to like coach and develop these players that we've already got into even better players. You look at Konsa, last season he was out at right back, and it was only this season really and towards the end of last season that he got put into the centre back role. And you know, he's probably one of our best players. So Greg, obviously moving forward for Aston Villa, then how far do you feel like we can go as a club looking into the future?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'd love to say that they could go all the way, because that's certainly what the owners want. You know, these owners are so engaged, and we spoke to Sean Verity, the under-18 coach, after the Youth Cup final, and he's been at Villa for a couple of decades, and he said that he feels the most sort of enthused and excited about the future under these owners. And you know, if you remember, there was a time obviously under Doug Ellis where Villa were very ambitious, you know, in the mid-90s, and they were, you know, they were up there, weren't they, challenging for titles and winning cup competitions. So we want to see Villa back there. You know, that's where that club really does deserve to be. I know it's an old cliche, and you know, no club deserves to be there, but Villa are a huge club, and they do deserve to be right up there. And I'd love to think they can. I think what they've got to do is recruit correctly the recruitment's key this year. Now, we've heard Perslow come speak today and say that they've got a very precise plan in place. Hope that precise plan that they've got in place is right, because if they're after two or three signings, which I'm led to believe that's how many they want, two big signings as well, those have got to be the right guys, because they've got to, one, come in and improve the team, and two, also fit into a team that has a very good team spirit at the moment. So it's crucial recruitment, but it's the same with every club, isn't it?
I think that's, is it the nail on the head, personally, to that one? Because that is the way I would like to see, me personally, the Villa going. We've done the two seasons of huge squad rebuilds and massive numbers coming in and out. All right, not so much last year, but there was still a reasonable turnaround in players. But I think to get that growth, it's as important as it is to add the one or two key players every window. You've got to keep your squad together, and you've got to keep that momentum going that you've built. You know, what's the point in doing all that last year with that, with those new players, and getting them all gelled in and all bedded in? And they seem to have a fantastic morale. They all seem to get on so well. So to go and chuck another six or seven players in, you know, could blow that apart. You know, it's a really difficult balancing act, isn't it? Especially on the training ground when you're trying to gel all these players in. So to bring two or three in a window, I think is the prudent way to go now. And I think it's the way a lot of the top clubs now operate. Once you hit that level, they just bring one or two of the highest caliber players in just to improve, you know. And I think if that's the way we're going, which it looks like, you know, I'll be absolutely over the moon with it.
And Greg, where do you think we, player-wise, we do need to improve then to reach that sort of level? Where do you feel like our weaknesses lie?
Yeah, well Villa are prioritising like a number 10 or a wide position, you know, somebody who can play number 10 and out wide. There's a story going out in The Athletic on Friday, so I can't say any names until then, but how many days you got? 24 hours, 48 hours, whatever. There'll be a little bit more information there, which will hopefully try and explain what Villa are trying to do. In my personal view, I actually think a deep-lying, sort of like towering midfielder would be the most beneficial to them at the moment. Yeah. You know, like an Ndidi type, someone like that. I think that position would help Villa improve the most. Okay, Nakamba finished the season really well, but if Villa are going to kick on, they do need an improvement on him, in my view.
We just need to fast forward Chukwuemeka about 3 years, I reckon, that he can play there.
Yeah.
Get a time machine.
although to be honest, Justin, I do see him being more of an attacking player, more of a number 10. I think he will be looking to be that type of player. Whether he evolves over his career, we'll see. But for now, he certainly wants to be an attacker.
So we'll just finish off on like a little quick fire round. These are all for you, Greg. Okay, so sort of like one word ish answers. So what was your favourite goal this season, Villa wise?
El Ghazi against Palace.
Best opposition player that you've seen?
Oh, dear. I don't know. I was quite impressed with Cavani, as mad as it sounds, when he came off the bench. I thought he quite changed the game. But off the top of my head, I got Pereira looked good against West Brom as well. Sorry, they're supposed to be one word, aren't they?
Yeah.
That just shows we've nullified everybody, haven't we? Nobody's looked good against us.
There's just no standout performers.
<Nah. laughs>
What's your favourite ground in the Premier League?
St James's Park.
And who does the best food for the press on a match day?
Chelsea, 100%.
And what's your favourite Villa podcast?
Up the Villa.
Good man.
Let's hope my employers aren't listening.
We've signed you up. This is
we'll
the transfer
them.
Window. You can stay if you want.
No, look, I'm happy to come on more often if you need me to. No
okay,
problem.
Cool, thanks. Well, to end it there, just a bit of a roundup. We were delighted to get you on. Greg, you know, it's been great chatting to you. You do some brilliant stuff. We're all massive fans of all your pieces in The Athletic as well. So this is rounding the season off for us on this channel as well. So we're going to be covering the Euros. Stay tuned for the stuff that we've got coming your way as well. And thanks for watching. Thanks for supporting. Up the Villa.
Good. Up the Villa.